Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about Avogadro's constant. Reading some electrodynamics, trying to get through this, I realised that this old textbook had a slightly different definition of Avogadro's constant. Became a bit confused, decided to go back to it. And of course, you remember from school, perhaps the ugliest looking picture. And it's indeed here in Wikipedia. I'll read through Avogadro's constant. It's sort of the generic number which relates, statistical mechanics to the everyday world. So you can get 12 grams of carbon 12. And that will be one Avogadro's constant. So Avogadro's constant is a number, is the number of actual atoms in a gram, so to speak. Avogadro's constant, Na, or L, it's Na, N subscript capital A, is the proportionality factor that relates the number of constituent particles, usually molecules, atoms, or ions, in a sample with the amount of substance in that sample. In SI units, it is the reciprocal of the mole, and it is defined as Na. So, it's a reciprocal. It's the unit. It's the reciprocal of a mole. So, one mole of atoms is one mole of atoms is the is the number. So one mole of atoms is like, say, one mole is like, say, 100. 100 is one word. So it's one mole of atoms is, it's the same number. So one Na, N, capital N, subscript capital A, equals 6.002 by 10 to the 23 moles to the minus 1. So there's that number of atoms in a mole. It is named after the Italian scientist Amedrio Avogadro. The numeric value of Avogadro's constant is expressed in reciprocal mole, a dimensionless number. It is called the Avogadro number, sometimes denoted as N or N naught. So it's dimensionless. There's a counting number like 2 or 3 is dimensionless. And it's sort of one mole. It's defined by one reciprocal of one equals one mole, which is thus a number of particles contained in one mole exactly. Now, it's exactly when they say they have decided that it's not going to be, you can't have half a thing. So let's read the number completely. 6.022140 76 by 10 to the 23. Now, they've got the modern scientific notation here of getting gaps between the groups of three numbers. It's beautiful to see it here. Something which people outside the world can't do. It's so frustrating to hear, see non-scientist people put commas in numbers and do things, and when you say, oh, it's not scientific convention, they just sneer at you. The value of Avogadro's constant was chosen so that the mass of one mole of a chemical compound in grams is numerically equal, for all practical purposes, to the average mass of one molecule of the compound in Dalton's the universal atomic mass units. So it's DA is a Dalton, or U. So a used to be AMU, and that's replaced with U, and it means a universal unit. It's sort of rather interesting like that. So carbon 12 will have an isotopic mass of 12 U exactly, whereas chlorine will have 13.5, phosphorus is 31, because 31 tends to be the only stable compound. One Dalton being 1/12 the mass of one of a carbon 12 atom. There you go. Which is approximately the mass of one nucleon, a proton, or neutron. So that's an interesting thing. For example, the average mass of one molecule of water is about 18.0153 Daltons, or U. And 1 mole of water is about 18.153 grams. So if you expand. Thus, an Avogadro constant is a proportionality factor that relates the molar mass of a substance to the average mass of one molecule. And the Avogadro number is also the approximate number of nucleons in 1 gram of ordinary matter. That's something almost inescapable. So if I've got 1 gram of iron, I can't tell you, I may not know how many iron atoms are, but I'll tell you the number of, pretty much the number of protons and neutrons in it. Now, a nucleon is a neutron or a proton. You've got then the binding energy there. A neutron and a proton stick together. They fall in a potential well. They have a mass associated with that. The Avogadro's constant also relates the molar volume of a substance to the average volume nominally occupied by one of its particles, when both are expressed in the same units of volume. So this is the surprising thing, that if I have a balloon, and I think it's roughly a 22-litre or 24-litre balloon, no matter what gas I put in its atmospheric pressure, no matter what gas I put in there, there will still be the same number of particles in it. Let's see if they can express that a bit better. For example, since the molar volume of water in ordinary conditions is about 8 millilitres per mole, wow, the volume occupied by one molecule of water is 18 divided by 0.6002 by 10 to minus 23, or 30 angstroms per thing. That's the most amazing thing. For crystalline substances, its similarities relates its molar volume, millimeters per mole, with the volume of repeating unit cell. So the molar volume is how much an individual particle thinks. I was thinking of gas. The Avogadro number or constant has been defined in many different ways through its long history. Now, this is where I would decide I'm going to have to really read the Wikipedia article on it, because there's been a new definition in 2019. Now, I'm no longer teaching, and the people often would be teaching and they would just sort this out by being angry and storming out of the room. Continue teaching the rubbish going in. But this is Avogadro. It's like the kilogram. It's hard to say. I gave lesson notes to one person about the big K, the kilogram. Then years passed. People came and actually replaced it with relating it to Planck's constant and basic energy units and stuff like that. And then I spoke to them again and said, "Oh, by the way, I hope you're still not doing it." I am. It's a fantastic lesson, but it's wrong. And they got angry at me. It's just incredible to go through. Let's go through this. The Avogadro number constant has been defined many ways. This approximate value was first obtained by Joseph Lockschmidt in 1865. Avogadro's number is closely related to Lockschmidt's sources, and the two concepts are sometimes confused. Let's look at this. It was initially defined by Jean Perrin as a number of atoms in 16 grams of oxygen. Okay, and that's still taught in schools today. It was later redefined in the 14th Conference of the International Bureau of Weights and Measures, BIPIM, as the number of atoms in 12 grams of isotope 12 carbon. In each case, the mole was defined as the quantity of substance that contained the same number of atoms as those in the reference sample. In the particular, when carbon-12 was the reference, 1 mole of carbon-12 was exactly 12 grams of the element. So it's only for that sample, then you will get a different mole, will be a different weight, because it doesn't work. And the definitions meant that the value of Avogadro's numbers depended on the experimentally determined value of the mass in grams of one atom of those elements. And therefore, it was known to a limited number of digits. But we now have locked it in as a certain number, as that exact number. So if I could say 10 to the 23, so a trillion is 10 to the 12, a trillion is 10 to the 24, so it's 0.6 trillion to get it into your head. 0.6 trillion, isn't that a much easier way to say Avogadro's number? So trillion is such a beautiful... 10 to the 9 is a billion. 10 to the 12 is a trillion. It's so... So 1,000 million is a billion. And a million million is a trillion. And a trillion is 10 to the 24. So it's 0.6 by 10 to the 24. And so this is a number. It's not a decimal point. It's pretty interesting. Okay. However, on the 26th conference, so the 14th conference to carbon, adopted a different approach. Effective the 20th of May, 2019. Go suck this, chemistry. The number is defined as an exact integer. And the redefined mole is the amount of substance under consideration that contains the constituent particles of that substance. Under the new definition, the mass of one mole... Beautiful. Go, scientists. Of any substance, including hydrogen, carbon, dioxide, oxygen, any substance, the average mass of one of the constituent particles. A physical particle is determined by experimental. So sensitive. And you try and explain. What's difficult is that you're in competing classrooms and you explain it fully, the students understand it fully and they can see a flaw in it. They then discuss it to another student, and the other student who someone else describes it with no flaw. It's an awful, and then you're the worst teacher. Let's see, the origin of the concept. The Avogadro constant was named by after the Italian scientist Amedeo Avogadro, who 1776 to 1856, who in 1811 first proposed the volume of gas at a given pressure and temperature is proportional to the number of atoms or molecules regardless of the nature of the gas. Just one of those things that really happen. It's a pretty amazing thing. It's just an observation. The name Avogadro's number was coined in 1909 by the physicist Jean Perrin, who defined it as a number of molecules and exactly 32 grams of oxygen. The goal of this definition was to make the mass of a mole of a substance in grams to be numerically equal to the mass of one molecule relative to the mass of the hydrogen atom, which, because of the law of definite proportions, was the natural unit of atomic mass, which is assumed to be 1/16th the mass of oxygen. Now, this is before they knew isotopes and stuff like that. First measurements. The first measurement of Avogadro's number, still known by that number, was obtained by that name. It was obtained indirectly by Josef Lockschmidt in 1865 by estimating the number of particles in a given volume of gas. This value, the number density N naught, is of particles in ideal gas, is now called the Lockschmidt constant in his honor, and is related to the Avogadro's constants by N naught is P naught, Avogadro's number on RT. So PV equals NRT. Wow. So I still haven't quite got that. So there's a PV equals NRT, the Lockschmidt number, and Avogadro's number are slightly different. And again, we're not teaching that. Let's get through this. Where P naught is the pressure, R is the gas constant, T naught is the absolute temperature. So let's read it from a thing. So the formula is N naught equals P naught, Avogadro's number divided by R, T naught. Now R is, we'll just go through, R is Boltzmann. So let's see what it is. Oh, sorry. P naught is the pressure. R is the gas constant. T naught is the absolute temperature. Because of this work, the symbol L is sometimes used for Avogadro's constant, and in German literature, that name is mainly used for both constants, distinguished only by the units of measurement. However, Na should not be confused with the entirely different Lockschmidt's constant in the English language literature. So, let's see. So, I still haven't quite worked out what the Lockschmidt's constant is. It isn't giving me a formula for it. Lockschmidt's constant, this is the given volume of gas. I don't understand this. Okay. Perrin himself determined Avogadro's number by several different experimental methods. He was awarded the 1926 Nobel Prize in Physics, largely for this work. The electric charge per mole of electrons is a constant called the Faraday constant. It has been known since 1834, when Mark Faraday published his work on electrolysis. So, a mole of charge is given, the number of electrons per mole is given by the Faraday's constant. I wish I understood that. So that you've got the amps, which is related to force, eventually the SKA unit. Then you've got the Faraday constant. Robert Millikan obtained the first measurement of the charge of an electron, dividing the charge of a mole of electrons by the charge of a single electron provided a more accurate estimate of Avogadro's number, which is really interesting. And the Millikan was a racist, absurd US scientist who had a fake English accent and wanted, who was anti-Jewish and wanted to destroy Einstein, to set out to destroy him. And by proving that you can't have an individual electron, proved it and got a Nobel Prize. So he went, oh, oh. Okay, now the SI definition of 1971. So you're going to understand that I was teaching up against teachers who didn't even understand this. And now we're up to there. So I just really want to understand the number of amps per mole. Because obviously you've got a battery. And it's 10 to the 23, 10 to the 19. I've got to really understand, because you've got a battery that's several grams, right? It's going to have, say, a mole of power, so many amp hours, and it's going to be pretty amazing. In 1971, the National Bureau of Weights and Measures, BIPIM, decided to regard the amount of substance as independent dimension of measurement, with the mole as a base unit in the international SI units. Specifically, the mole was defined as the amount of substance that contains elementary substance in 12 grams of carbon-12, which is what we were teaching. But we now know that if you want to teach it correctly, it's a number. And it's set. By this definition, the common rule of thumb is 1 gram of matter contains N naught nucleons. Mm-hmm. Was exact for carbon-12, but slightly inexact for other elements and isotopes. On the other hand, 1 mole of any substance contained exactly as many molecules as 1 molecule of another. So the gram is a stupid thing. As a consequence, the definition in the SI system, the Avogadro's constant Na, had a dimensionality of reciprocal amount of substances rather than a pure number. Is that... So... Na, its dimensions, so it used to be, and Na used to be, you know, so Na is sort of like, you know, the Australian score, you know, 124, or whatever you get, you know, 212, it's a set number, but it used to be reciprocal, because that, if I didn't know of, let's really do this one again. Okay. Of substance rather than a pure number. Wow, that's so hard to understand. And an approximate value of 6.2 or 0.62 trillion trillion units per mole, units per mole, which is sort of, I can sort of get it, but it's so much easier. There's so much things where you're trying to teach, you know, teach across what's in the syllabus to modern science, and you can get your students really confused. By this definition, the value NA is inherently had to be determined experimentally. IBM also named NA the Avogadro constant, but the term Avogadro number continued to be used for special introductory works. Okay. The SI redefinition in 2019. Thank goodness. And the thing is that you've got a few scientists like me who are just suffering, and we get into a room and we can sort it out, and the rest of the world can just stew away. In 2017, the IBM decided to change the definition of the mole for amount of substance. The mole was redefined as being an amount of substance containing exactly the elements, entities. One consequence of this change is the mass of a mole is no longer exactly 12 grams of carbon. 12 is 12 grams. On the other hand, a dalton or the U, so 12 U, remains unchanged as 1/12 the mass of 12 of carbon 12, a mole of carbon 12. Thus, the molar mass constant is no longer exactly 1 gram per mole, although the difference is absolutely small. Is insignificant for practical purposes. So, a molar mass constant is no longer 1 gram per mole. So, I find that a little bit hard to go. You can imagine how this is hard. In other measurement systems, where the unit of the amount of substance is not the SI mole, the Avogadro number is taken to mean the number of particles of that said unit and will have different value. For example, if quantities of a substance are measured in pound mole, I can't even read that. America, you can just, and Britain, you can go with the ounce mole. Oh, don't make me vomit. Okay. It's hard enough to understand the 2019 is just bliss. There's no more to understand. It's, you know, it's what simplification. And it is interesting that the education system is set up this way. But let's look at this. The Avogadro constant NA in subscript capital A is related to other physical constants and properties. It relates to the molar gas constant R, the Boltzmann, and the Boltzmann gas constant, which in SI, since the 20th of May 19, is defined to be exactly, 1.3 by 10 to the minus 23 joules per degree Kelvin. So that's, okay. So R equals the Boltzmann constant times NA. So, that's just so hard. Everyone will remember that R is 8.31. You put 8.31 to PV equals NRT. Is that right? Yeah, PV equals NRT. Pressure times volume equals N, the number of molecules, number of moles, T, gee whiz, N is the number of moles. Oh yeah, it would be NRT. So it's 8.31. So R, PV equals NRT, is that. So now it's been all defined. It relates to the Faraday constant of the elementary charge as some whacking big a farad equals equals 1 mole of electrons, and 1 mole of electrons is 96,485. Oh, can I say it is such a pleasure, an absolute pleasure to, like I'm doing free consultation to COVID sites and sites, you know, so I sidle up and I say, oh, look, this is the way you've got to express this number, this is the way you have to do that. And to suddenly see it here in Wikipedia is so nice, and not to read in these textbooks. I'm reading some textbooks from the 80s, I suppose, which are really good, but just not as good as this. It relates, so if I have a mole of electrons, that is, and an amp is a coulomb per second. Okay, so if I were suddenly to discharge a mole of a battery, which has suddenly discharge it, I would produce, in 1 second, I produce 96,000 amps. It relates to the molar mass, mu, of the atomic mass units currently. I'm just really, this is hurting it. So the molar mass constant, mu, and the atomic mass constant, mu. Oh, so this is really interesting, because rather than u, which is in units of it, the actual mass of one of those is m subscript u, is currently 1.6 by 10 to the minus 27 grams experimentally. However, there is a difference between this, an mu, and the actual atomic mass. So, say a hydrogen is 1, or carbon 12 has a mu. Carbon 12 has, a nucleus of carbon 12 has, to start off with, a number, has a mass in U very close to 12. It used to, but now it no longer does. It's all defined differently. So so mu equals mu times the, so the mass of one unit atomic, the mass of one mole of hydrogen, supposedly, or if you could, is mu Na, which is something very close to a gram, because in kilograms. So this is very much for me, and I'm going to try and understand it. And so you're reading this, and you're reading these old textbooks in the 1980s. And of course, I can't remember anything. Well, I can remember what I'm studying in terms of the texts, but if I'm trying to remember other background information, it's so hard. Well, thanks a lot for listening to me. I hope there is some scientists and some teachers out there who's as excited about, well, not excited, relieved. Can I say relieved? Because when there is ignorance gets solved by politics. And if you don't like politics and like maths, you just go there. There's also Mole Day. I wonder when Mole Day is. That'd be a good day. There's a day of the year which is a Mole Day. Birthday. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.